Well, hello and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. With Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread just about a month away, I know all of us are focused on that, preparing for these very special holy days. Well, today what I want to do is share with you the details of a couple of trips that my wife and I took to South America over the last month, to four different countries. Really an amazing set of trips. But before that, I want to update all of you on our brethren in Argentina. As I think many of you know, we put out a prayer request over the weekend regarding some horrendous flooding that took place because of a horrible storm over a couple of days that hit Bahia Blanca in southern Argentina, and that's where our largest group is. So let me read this update from Mr. Saul Langarica and Mr. Alfredo Arbeláez, who is the pastor in Argentina. Last night, Monday at 9 p.m., there is still no electricity or internet in most of the houses in Bahia Blanca. However, our local pastor, Alfredo Arbeláez, had his power restored this morning. Mr. Arbeláez said that the greatest damage was in the houses of two families in the church. In one house, the water rose about 50 centimeters, about 20 inches, and in the other house, the water rose up to 1.5 meters, almost 5 feet. Obviously, both families are now in the process of cleaning up and detecting the real damage to their belongings. The water has already gone down in the city, but now the cleaning and reconstruction remains. Officially, there are 20 dead and an undetermined number of displaced people. The city looks like a war zone, from what the members of the church describe and from the photographs and videos that are seen in the news. A lady from the church told me that during the peak hours of rain, the water seemed to enter her house, but she and her family were praying to God, and suddenly the water began to subside. Fortunately, on Sabbath, Mr. Arbeláez and his family managed to clean the meeting hall and prepared it for services, and about a third of the brethren were able to meet. The rest of the members had to stay at home. The members of the church who were affected by the floods are grateful to God that their losses were merely material. We ask for your prayers for our brethren in the area and for the recovery of the city, that the cleaning of the streets is quick, and that the electricity is restored as soon as possible so all can return to a normal life. So that's the latest from these two gentlemen. Please be remembering the brethren there in Argentina in your prayers. And, of course, I'll refer to visiting them some weeks ago. Now to share with you the details of the two trips we took to South America. In the past 4 weeks, my wife Tanya and I have traveled to four different countries in South America. We actually met with brethren in six different cities. We met with three different ministers and their wives. We were able to spend time with them. And I think the numbers of the brethren we met with was about 170. We spent 12 days plus in Bolivia and Argentina, and about a week with our pastor and his wife in Colombia and Ecuador. First, I want to comment about our first trip to Bolivia and Argentina. We began that trip by teaming up with Saul and Carmen Langarica. Mr. Langarica is the pastor in Chile, but also has pastored in the Southern Cone area as well, and he came along because of that, as well as to help with translation. We actually first visited the city of Santa Cruz in Bolivia. Again, this was the first time my wife and I have been to any of these countries, so it was exciting from that perspective, but even more importantly, to be able to meet the members in these countries. On that Sabbath of February the 8th, we met with about 25 brethren in Santa Cruz. This is the largest group we have in Bolivia. We met at the home of our deacon, Jaime Zagal, and his wife and family in their home. They have quite a large room, what we would call a living room in the U.S., and all the brethren met there for services. We had a meal together. We fellowshipped. And believe me, it was one of those Sabbaths where you get emotionally worn out, but for good reasons, because of the people you meet and because of the love that's expressed. 2 days later, we actually flew up even higher to the highest incorporated city on the planet, and that was to La Paz, Bolivia. The airport itself, I think about this in terms of the U.S., the airport is at 13,400 feet above sea level. It's a large city of about 2 million. We went with our small congregation there of about 10 brethren. We were able to meet that evening at the home of Javier and Escalante and his wife. We really appreciate them showing the hospitality to meet there, and I believe this is where the brethren meet most every Sabbath. We were able to have a Bible study with translation, of course, that afternoon, and then had a wonderful meal together around a large, long table, and we really, really enjoyed the fellowship and time we had with the brethren. You know, La Paz is a very interesting city. I had heard of it, Never really thought I'd get the chance to go there, but as I said, it's very, very high. And as you look out over the horizon, here you're at in the city itself around 12,000 feet. You're surrounded by the Andes Mountains, which some of the peaks reach over 20,000 feet above sea level. The next day, we had the opportunity before departing that evening to tour the city. And, you know, a large city like that, some people would say, well, you probably took the subway. No subway in La Paz. Over the last several years, they actually built a cable car system throughout the city. And there's 10 different lines of the cable cars, really high-tech cable cars, and you can travel that way throughout the city of La Paz. And we did that with a few of the brethren on that following day. And we're able to see different aspects of the city. But some spectacular views we had of not only the city of La Paz, but the mountains that surrounded it. That evening, late, we actually took what was the first of three flights to get to Bahía Blanca. Now, remember, I mentioned Bahía Blanca at the beginning of In Accord regarding the floods that have taken place late last week. But in any event, we flew from La Paz to Santa Cruz, and then we had a wait at the airport, and then flew from Santa Cruz to Buenos Aires, and then we had a long wait at the airport there before we connected down to Bahía Blanca. We visited with the members during the next couple of days. And we have members not only in Bahía Blanca in Buenos Aires, but also in Cavayate, Carlos Paz, and Santa Clara. So those are smaller groups, quite a ways away from where we were, so we didn't get the chance to see those brethren. But in Bahía Blanca is actually a city of about 300,000 or 400,000 that's about 5 hours south of Buenos Aires on the coast. It is actually a part of what's called the Pampas region. I mentioned to our pastor there that when I was a small boy learning geography in school, I remember hearing about the Pampas part of Argentina, where cattle were raised and crops were grown. Well, that's really where Bahía Blanca is, but right on the coast. We were able to spend 3 days with Alfredo Arbeláez and his wife Alejandra. We had a wonderful time being with them and, of course, with the Langaricas as well as with the brethren. We met and had fellowship with the brethren three different occasions during the 4 days that we were there. One of the days we actually toured a local theater. It has quite a history in the city of Bahía Blanca. It's called the Teatro Municipal de Bahía Blanca. So I didn't quite pronounce that perfectly, but one of the things I found out about Argentina when traveling there is the makeup of the people who settled Argentina, at least those from Europe. Not primarily Spanish, actually, but Italian. Obviously, there's a large Spanish population there as well, and that, of course, is the language. But when you hear the Argentinians speak their Spanish, there's a little flair of Italian within it as well. We were able to visit the Emigration Museum. We had a time to spend a day looking at the feast site that they have in Argentina for the brethren. And the church hall itself is also in the pastor's home. Mr. Arbeláez's home is two stories, and the first story is actually dedicated to the church, a very nice meeting hall and set up for webcasting, and then a small kitchen and an area where they can prepare snacks and meals for the brethren. On Friday night, while we were there, we were able to have a meal at the home of our deacon there, Carlos Navarrete, and his wife and little daughter. We enjoyed that. The next day on the Sabbath, we met with about 45 brethren at the hall, had a wonderful lunch together, and again, fellowship on into the early evening. Then the next day on that Sunday, we all came back to the hall. I had a wonderful lunch. It was a barbecue lunch that the men and the ladies had fixed for those who were able to make it. And I think we had 25 or 30 there for that day, followed by some wonderful entertainment. It's one of the things that you find in going to Latin America is that the brethren are very open with not only the music and dancing that really reflect a lot of the ethnic background of those countries. And we weren't disappointed, of course, in Argentina. One of the elderly members, Mr. Moises Bravo, actually performed a number of times with his playing guitar, singing, as well as a harmonica all at the same time. That's quite an amazing display of talent. That night, we actually flew to Buenos Aires. And on that Monday, which was a Monday now, if you're kind of following this through, we met with 25 brethren. At the home of a local couple very gracious couple that, again, they open their home up every Sabbath for Sabbath services, Roberto and Alicia Orego. And we really appreciated their hospitality. You know, during the period of time when we visited these four countries, I'll just say that I kissed more women on both cheeks in those 4 weeks than I had my entire life. But that's the way these brethren greet each other. And you kind of get used to it. You know, people coming from the U.S. or maybe from the U.K. aren't used to the way that way of greeting. But indeed, it was an experience I'll not forget, just due to the warmth and kindness and love that all these brethren expressed for having visitors. They fed us like kings, to say the least. We had a very great time in fellowshipping with all of the brethren in both of those countries. And, you know, when you see the commitment and warmth of the brethren, as well as the fact that they don't get a lot of contact with visitors, they really appreciate it when they have visitors come, not only from the church office, but those few who are able to make it down to one of those countries for the Feast of Tabernacles. Mr. Langarica, as I said, has served in the area, not only in Chile, but in the southern cone of South America, rather, for 20 years, or just about 20 years. And I asked him if he wouldn't mind commenting a bit on the brethren in Bolivia and Argentina and his experience in working with them.
My wife and I were sent to this area, to the South Cone, in 2001. And when we came here, I was the only full-time minister. So we began to travel throughout all of the congregations of the South Cone, that is Chile, Argentina, Bolivia, Uruguay, and Brazil. And we have lots of traveling at the beginning. However, the churches began to grow little by little. So there was the need to ordain more ministers, and also to employ two of the ministers in the area. We employed Álvaro Matamala in Chile, and we employed Alfredo Arboleas here in Argentina. However, we continue to travel to the other countries and also to Argentina, and here we travel as much as possible to serve the members and the congregations, but also to support and work with Alfredo and Alejandra and help them a lot.
Great. We visited Bolivia and then Argentina. Can you talk about the makeup of the congregations in Bolivia in particular?
Sure. In Bolivia, we have two congregations. The main one is in Santa Cruz. The attendance is 20 there. And the second congregation is in La Paz. The attendance is 10 there. They don't see each other because they are very far apart, about 700 kilometers apart. And they don't see each other because it is very difficult to travel by road within Bolivia because of the drug dealers that they close the roads, the main roads, so you cannot travel. So they see each other only for the Feast of Tabernacles. There we have no minister, but we have a deacon and his wife, Jaime and Michelle Zagal. They serve very much and very well the congregations. So we try to visit them as much as possible. And we are able to travel to both congregations because we fly every time we go.
See. What kind of challenges do the brethren face in Bolivia?
I think that the main problem they have there is, there are two problems. One is the government problem, and the other one is the drug problem. And they are related,
yes,
actually, because in Bolivia, the government is very much involved, unfortunately,
yes,
in supporting the drug producers and the drug dealers. Mm. So it is very difficult.
See.
And because of that, the drug dealers have a lot of power.
Wow.
And the government is very much related to them. So the members sometimes they are not able to congregate there because the drug dealers or even supporters of the government or people against the government, whoever, they close the roads and they close the city. So they are not able to congregate.
Yeah.
However, fortunately, because of the money coming in for the drugs, the economy in Bolivia is very stable, very stable.
Sure.
So the members are doing fine.
Good.
They are able to congregate as much as they can, and so they are very, very, very faithful to God and to
sure.
the church.
What about in Argentina? What about the different congregations here? And who's pastoring now in Argentina?
Yes, in Argentina we have four main congregations. The main one is in Bahía Blanca, the second one is in Buenos Aires, the third one is in Córdoba, and the fourth one is in Cafayate, the very north of Argentina. Alfredo Arboleda is a full-time minister here with his wife, so he tries to travel as much as possible to the four congregations, but him and I alternate traveling, so we are able to see all of the congregation at least four times a year, all of them, yes, at least. Either he or I traveling. And so Alfredo is the full-time minister, and I work with him and help him as much as possible.
See, so Argentina is a fascinating country as well, has quite a history, but maybe you could comment on the economic challenges that the country has faced and the members have faced.
Yes. For the last 20 years, there was a government that it was very bad in administering the goods of the country, in administration. So because of that bad administration they had for 20 years, for 2 years ago, the inflation of, was 240% per year.
Wow.
So the members receive their salary now, and tomorrow they have to spend all of the money in order for them not to lose money next month.
See.
Because the inflation rate was very great. But this last year, a new government came into power, and they began to take economic measures. And because of that, the inflation at this moment is around 30% per year. So you can see in the streets more stability. You can see more hope on the streets. And even the church members, they are more relaxed financially. They are more stable financially. They don't lack food. They don't lack anything to live on. And they are very, very faithful to God and to the church as well.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Saul. And thank you for what you and Carmen do to serve God's people in this part of the world.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
The next trip we took was to Colombia and Ecuador. On Thursday, the 27th of February, Tanya and I, late that night, arrived in Bogota, Colombia. I may mention that we also have members, even though we met only in Bogota, in Medellin, in Cali, and La Plata. So a few of those members from outlying areas actually came in for that Sabbath. The next day, we were able to spend, of course, with our pastor, Eduardo Hernandez, and his wife, Maria. We spent a lot of time with them over that next 7 days. Had a chance to visit with them, get to know them even better, which really was a blessing as well. On the Sabbath, that next day, we met again at the Hernandez home. That's where they have Sabbath services every week. And we were with about 40 brethren in their home for Sabbath. Again, a warm group, a very kind group, a very loving group. And they were very happy to have visitors. And, of course, we were excited to be there. After services, they wanted to ask some questions and talk, and we had probably about an hour and a half worth of Bible questions about the work of the church. My brethren were very much engaged in finding out what they could, not only, as I said, in addressing a few Bible questions, but also about the work of the church. That evening continued on with a meal and then some entertainment. They actually brought a local band in that Mr. Hernandez knew well. Some of the members of the band played some wonderful Colombian music for us the whole evening. That Sunday, we actually toured the Museo del Oro, and this is the Museum of Gold in Bogota, and it goes through a history of how the Spaniards and others came to that part of the world in South America, and gold was what they were after. And of course, you find in the history, the ethnic history of that part of the world in Colombia, a tremendous amount of knowledge to be gained. It was a wonderful tour. And again, before we left, we had to say goodbye to the Hernandez's adult children, Pablo Juan and Maria Isabel. We got a chance for the first time to meet them as well. It really was wonderful to get that opportunity. That evening, we flew to Quito, Ecuador with Eduardo and Maria. And Quito, Ecuador, I mean, I mentioned the other a few moments ago that we were in La Paz at 13,500 feet. Well, Bogota is about 8,500 feet above sea level, and Quito, Ecuador is about 1,000 feet higher. So it seems like in both of these trips, we were sleeping and living at high elevation for a number of days. On that Monday, that following day, we met with about 25 brethren from Quito and Cuenca, which is a smaller city where a group of brethren live. Those from Cuenca actually traveled 8 hours one way just to get there for the Bible study and for the fellowship we had the following day. You know, after our Bible study that day, we had a Q&A session, lasted well over an hour. A lot of members were really engaged in wanting to talk about the Bible, about prophecy, and really about what's happening in the world we live in. The next day, we went to a member's home, had a wonderful gourmet barbecue dinner. Again, fellowship that wouldn't end. We talked and talked and listened. And then the last day before departing, we actually had a guided tour of Quito, Ecuador. Like most of these large cities, there's a tremendous history behind the settlement of the area. Ecuador was settled primarily by the Spanish, and many of the Catholic basilicas throughout the city really show much of the history of the city. Then that afternoon, we went to a very interesting place. I had heard of it before, never been there. Now, be reminded that the name of the country is Ecuador, but it's called Ecuador because it sits right on the equator. And this is one of the few, if any, museums in the world that focus on the issue of what they call the middle of the world. The Mitad del Mundo, which actually is the middle of the world museum, is where we went. And I had an opportunity to stand right on the equator with my wife. It really was a fascinating place to be in this trip that we took to Ecuador. Now, at the end of the last day, I asked Mr. Hernandez if he wouldn't mind commenting on some of the challenges that the members have faced in Colombia and Ecuador, particularly as it relates to the church, and I mean by that the Catholic Church, which is predominant in these Latin American countries, to our being able to be recognized officially, as well as the economic issues that the members have faced.
You know, you know that this in these countries, we are dedicated to the, for instance, in Colombia, there is a pact, a kind of pact with the Vatican, and so something like, for instance, if you are going to get married. If you get married by the Catholic ceremony, it is the government recognizes that as civil and religious marriage.
Yes.
But if you are not Catholic or you don't want to have this ceremony by the Catholic Church, so you only have the government official marriage.
Yes,
that is, it's just with a mayor or in a notary.
Si.
Is there where you have it,
right?
And that's it. But it's recognized also.
Yes,
but you know that remembers me, and because we have so long time tried to get a official permission
just to be a church.
Yes. You know, it's so difficult because they ask so many things, and they have a very hard conditions to fill up.
Yes.
So till now, after all these years, we haven't been able to get this permission, official permission.
Right. So we've been operating for decades. We know that they're God's church, but officially in the government, they don't recognize us.
No.
No.
But there is some churches, for instance, the evangelical, and I remember once they were offering me to have this permission, and I said, but what kind of permission? And she said, and he said, the lawyer that works with that church, he told me, you know, we have a name here. And you can use it for 2 years. After these 2 years, you can change it for your name. And then, but you have to pay so and so and so. And we have that opportunity this
right.
time. But, you know, it's not, can you imagine we, as the Church of God, meeting as a,
evangelical group,
yes.
Yeah.
For 2 years, after 2 years, you could change the name.
Wow.
But
Now, have there been any economic challenges that the brethren have faced in the past?
Yes, yes. For instance, here in Ecuador, there was in 2000, I think it was 2000, when they changed the Sucre, it was the peso, Ecuadorian peso.
The money, yes.
The money here. And they changed it for dollars. You know, I remember because that weekend, I was here in Ecuador,
yes.
That weekend. And so suddenly they closed
the banks
and they opened them again. I think it was Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
And when they opened it, you know, I remember there is a member here in Ecuador that his business was, for instance, to buy a house, to remodel that house, and then it was his business, and it was a nice one. But so, and he had all his money in cash. He had it at the bank at that time, but they didn't know that all these changes were coming, and nobody knew with what kind of conditions.
Right.
But anyway, in that weekend, the government decided to do it, of course, without telling anyone. And so the banks were closed. And when they opened again, he realized that he has almost half of his money.
It's gone.
Yes, gone. Because with the changes, with the exchange,
yes,
of the Sucre,
yes,
to dollars, wow, he just lost most of his money. He lost it.
Well, listen, we appreciate your serving the brethren here in Ecuador and in Colombia. And any final words you would have for the other brethren about your brethren here?
Oh yes, that I think that we all of us we have to fight for the truth and to maintain the truth, because there is a lot of circumstances that everyone can face, and sometimes we need the strength. We need the strength, the spiritual strength,
yes,
to maintain the faith, to maintain the spiritual as a focus of our lives.
You bet.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome.
Needless to say, these two trips were of immense value to my wife and I. Of course, I always hope and pray that our visit is of value to the brethren. That is our main focus, but it was of immense value to us. These trips were incredibly enlightening in that Tanya and I were able to appreciate and learn a bit more about the cultures and backgrounds and history of these four countries. I may have had a little bit of understanding, but boy, that just grew by leaps and bounds. It was encouraging. Encouraging, as it often is when you meet with members around the world, to see the dedication and loyalty that God's people have to the truth, even in the face of some of the challenges that they've faced in their lives. And of course, these trips are extremely inspiring to be able to meet and be with members of what you begin to realize even more and more as a part of the spiritual family that all of us are a part of. As I bring this in accord to an end, I want to give a reminder to all of us. It's a reminder that I've certainly had over the last month, and that is based upon a comment that Jesus Christ made that we read in Matthew's account, gospel account, where Jesus Christ was asked about the whereabouts of his family. I'm going to read from Matthew 12, verses 47 and 50. Matthew 12, verses 47 and 50. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." But he answered and said to one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Well, fascinating. That actually describes from the lips of Jesus Christ himself, you. It describes me, and it describes the relationships that we have within the church. Our spiritual family truly are God's people and our part and the ones that we know in the Church of God. Well, that's about it for this week's edition of In Accord. Be sure to tune in next week when Mr. Britt Taylor will update us on the finances of the work and news of the work in general. And as always, brethren, we wish you a very wonderful, relaxing, and inspiring Sabbath day.